Welcome to The Sound of Economics. My name is Guntram Wolf, and in today's Director's Cut, I bring to you a discussion with our fellow Sylvia Merla, who joins us from Washington, D.C. to discuss with us Italy and the Italian budget proposal. Welcome, Sylvia.
Thank you.
Well, the Italian government has yesterday evening released the budget number that they would like to see for next year. There's no details of the budget available yet. However, the headline number is a deficit of 2.4% for 2019. This very much contrasts the deficit that the Commission wanted to see from Italy in the last stability program, which was 0.8%. So we are here with a substantial overrun of the announced deficit compared to what the European Commission had wanted. This is seen as a clear sign of confrontation with the European institutions. And of course, the sovereign bond markets reacted quite strongly today. The stock market reacted negatively. Bond yields are up. Everybody is wondering how the situation will evolve further. So perhaps, Sylvia, the first question I would like to ask you is, how did we come to where we are? I mean, what was the discussion in the last weeks in Italy? What were the key issues that were being debated? And why do you think did the Italian government really make a proposal that is so much out of line with what the Commission certainly expected?
Yes. So I think that there's two issues there. One issue is eminently political, and that has to do with how this coalition of government has actually come into existence. So it was a post-electoral coalition between two political forces that are quite different, but they both had a very rich set of fiscal promises in their campaign. So when the coalition was formed, the so-called government contract that brings it together effectively combines the promises of both parties into a fiscal package that is very expansionary, and this is pretty much the background for what has been happening. And then over the past months, there has been sort of a power struggle, so to speak, within this coalition between the two parties, where Lega, which is the party headed by Matteo Salvini, has been taking a very strong stance on immigration, which was a core point of their program. And this has been working very well for them in terms of gaining them more support. But on the other hand, Five Star, which didn't have this migration focus in their campaign, and probably didn't feel like engaging very strongly on that topic because it's not so close for many of the voters of Five Star, ended up being a bit sidelined in the past month, and didn't really get until now any significant things to show to their base who voted for them. So the budget was something to show to their electorate, and this is actually what happened with this budget, because 10 billion in the budget are going to be for citizenship income, which is precisely what Five Star had promised in their campaign.
Right. So basically, the demands for higher spending will be met. We don't know yet where the money will go, whether the money will go primarily to investments or whether it will primarily be going to fund, let's say, the basic minimum income, which was, of course, a key campaign pledge of the government of the Five Star movement. So basically, we are here in a situation where the political reality very much prevailed, I guess, and the political demands, campaign demands, very much prevailed over what the finance minister Tria had called, I think, the voice of Rhea had been the voice of, can I say, reason, or the voice of moderation, trying to keep the deficit below 2%. So in a sense, would you consider this a victory of the more populist forces in the government over those that were perhaps more committed to European political stability?
Yes, definitely. The finance minister wanted something in between 1.6 and 1.9% maximum, so below 2%. This would have been already above what the European Commission would have liked, but definitely very different from what we are seeing now. We don't yet have the document itself, so we don't exactly know the numbers, but we know that there are at least pieces of the main promises in the campaign that are there. So there's a beginning of implementation of the flat tax, which is a key promise by the League in their campaign. There's a start for the citizenship income, which will start with pension. Minimum pensions, and that is key for five star. There is a scrapping of the pension reform, apparently, which is something that was common to both parties. And then there is supposed to be increase in public investment. But again, without having the document, we don't really know how the weight is split among these components. But certainly the fact that the headline number is 2.4 signifies that politics has definitely won over the finance minister preferences. So it also sends an important signal for the negotiations going forward, because the budget will have to go through parliament. And the fact that we start with such a high number already for the deficit really means that the finance minister is not going to have much of a strong position when going negotiating through parliament. So this could potentially actually become worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's reflect a little bit on what is next, what is upcoming. We've heard already today clear signals from the European Commission that this will not just be accepted like this. Even those forces within the Commission that typically tend to be more on the, let's say fiscally lax side, were objecting. Pierre Moscovici talked, for example, of this being way too high and not compatible with the EU laws. So I think the formal process will be such that on October 15, there will be a formal submission of the budget law to the European Commission. At that stage, the European Commission will have to take a decision whether or not to reject the law, or whether to demand smaller corrections or accept it. And my sense is that they will likely reject it, because it's just too much out of line with what was expected and what is needed under both the fiscal compact as well as the Stability and Growth Pact. Do you agree with that, Sylvia?
I do think that that is what the Commission should probably do based on the numbers that we have. So 2.4 does not breach the 3% limit, but it does not comply with the debt reduction rule in the fiscal compact, which states that the debt should be reduced by 1/20th of the gap to 60% every year, and this is clearly not achieving that.
The debt should actually fall by 3.5% next year, according to the fiscal compact.
Yes, and this is clearly not achieving this. The debt is going to remain stable at best, if not increase. This is something that we'll need to see later, depending also on how much interest rates will increase. But so on that substance, that's clearly in violation. But I think the Commission is going to face a very difficult political problem at possibly the worst political juncture, because the European elections are coming up. Italy is a country that is already strongly Eurosceptic, as we have seen in the results of our domestic elections. Opening an EDP procedure or rejecting the budget would certainly fuel the sentiments back home. Also, if the European Commission were to say something against this budget, the government would proceed anyway on the same path. So it's clearly open a very strong confrontation right now, which in my view can only get worse.
So Europe will lose in any case. That's what you're saying. I mean, if we don't do anything as Europeans, we will accept a breach of European law. And that will, of course, undermine confidence by everybody in the European institutions and will make all the other steps in terms of further European cooperation more difficult. But if the European Commission is rejecting too forcefully, it will be the perfect scapegoat in the Italian discussion, especially if then the five-star movement is accepting and actually changing the budget law. It will lose politically, domestically, enormously, and will put all the blame on Brussels.
Yes, I think this, I mean, for Europe, this is going to be a lose-lose situation. I think it's going to be a win-win for Five Star, especially for Lega, for two reasons. If the Commission were, like I think it should, going to take a stance, a very strong stance on this, then this plays very well in the national rhetoric of this government being fighting against the power of Brussels and so on and so forth. So that could win them a lot of votes in the European elections, unless a real crisis then happens. And so that may change things, of course. If the European Commission were not to take a strong stance, this is also going to win Lega and Five Star votes in the European elections, because they can claim that they're the first government who effectively confronted Brussels and succeeded in bringing home a fiscal expansion that is actually meaningful.
So perhaps the last point which we should be discussing is, you know, what does all of this make sense from an economic point of view? And, you know, what are the long-term consequences of such a budget? And perhaps I do want to start by talking about the interest rate and the spreads. I think Di Maio said we are not afraid of the spread, something along those lines. But of course, the fact that he says it means that, of course, it is a variable that everybody looks at. And I think it's, for me, the variable that I'm actually most worried about, an interest rate that is 3 percentage points higher than that of Germany for a very long time makes it extremely difficult, in my opinion, for Italy to grow, for Italy to fund investment, for Italy to be able to actually get the Y, so the denominator grows, so that debt to GDP ratio actually falls. And I think it ultimately means that Italy's position in the Eurozone will be more and more put into question by financial institutions, so by financial markets. So I think there is a real risk for a downward spiral that could emerge here. The upside might be that some budget stimulus will help in the short term to boost growth in Italy, but I mean it might not be enough to offset the negative interest rate effect, at least not in the medium to long term. Sylvia, how do you see the situation? I mean, how would you see a sort of 2% or 2.4% deficit for several years? I mean, it does boost, of course, domestic demand at some level, but does it really tackle the long term growth issues that Italy has? And how bad is the impact of the interest rate from your point of view?
I think on interest rate, there's two things that we maybe should distinguish. In the short term, and we're going to see that very soon, because we're going to see what the rating agencies are going to think of this budget by the end of October, mostly. There could be downgrades on the Italian government debt, and that is certainly going to create a lot of pressure on market. How serious that will be, I think, depends on how serious the downgrades will be, and also what comes after in terms of government reaction. So whether this would be enough to trigger a reversal, or whether it won't be. So
can we say one more word on the downgrades? I think, because that's really important. I mean, Italy is only 2 notches above investment grade, and
exactly.
If you have 2 downgrades, you lose Italy loses access to collateral.
Yes. So crisis-related downgrades might imply that Italy would no longer be eligible for the ECB quantitative easing, for example. And then obviously for collateral pledging by banks, that would also have the same effect. So the ECB would stop accepting Italian bonds as collateral. This assuming that the downgrades are going to be serious enough. And the first hint about that will come at the end of October, because both Fitch and Moody's are expected to update their rating of the Italian government debt. So we'll see what they think of this. But in the previous statements from rating agencies, they had been quite clear about that for their assessment. So this is one thing. The other thing is, like, looking more towards the long term, I think considering that we're moving towards possible phase out of the ECB quantitative easing, so interest rates are anyway bound to increase in the future, what Italy certainly does not need, considering how big the government debt to GDP ratio is to have undue burden through the impact of interest rates. An increase in interest rates, on top of being a problem for public finance directly, as we know, it's also going to be a problem for the private sector, because it's going to make credit extension from the financial system more difficult and also more expensive.
Well, thank you, Silvia, for sharing your insights today with us.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for listening to this podcast, The Sound of Economics from Bruegel. More to come on this very, very difficult topic, the Italian budget. Thank you very much.